Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it. Take it.
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Roll mount, here's some ground, and pound by O'Gara.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric Hultgren, along with Ken Evans, giving you episode 327.5. Because John Jones is obviously out of UFC 200. It is the Friday before UFC 200. We have a new champion in Eddie Alvarez, a brilliant performance last night.
Spoilers!
What?
You know I get up early in the morning. Damn it! Are you serious?
Sorry. Yeah.
It
was round one.
That's cool.
Okay.
Cool. Good for him.
So we have a new champion in Eddie Alvarez beating RDA last night. But we're talking about UFC 200. John Jones out, tested positive for not one, but two substances. And I have not seen yet if the Thursday B test has been...
No, we haven't. We don't have that yet, as of this taping, and which is a little bit strange because it seemed yesterday. I watched every press conference,
by the way. Yeah.
So we had the Dana White press conference, which led into Daniel Cormier talking, which then led into
John Jones
later in the day, and John Jones started crying in the middle and had to leave a little bit because he was sad. He's sorry, guys. And then his coach talked a little bit about it, and during that discussion, it seemed like they were going to have the B sample back by tonight.
Last night, I should say. That has not happened yet, or they haven't released it yet. And I thought one thing I thought was interesting, Ken, and I was saying this last night. I was on with the Average Joe's MMA show, and I was saying I thought it was interesting that John started by saying he was sorry, but not by saying he didn't do it.
Well, I think there's going to be a lot of legalities there. I don't actually blame. There's a lot of people jumping on John and his coach for saying saying that, hey, well, you don't say you didn't do it because you don't know what you did or didn't do. And that's kind of what their quote-unquote defenses at this point. It might have been a supplement. We're not sure. It's very strange if he is actually on the exact same things he says he's always been on to then pop for two banned substances.
And Gat said last night, he's a Gat athlete. They said, look, we test ours all the time. It is not us. So whatever he took, it has nothing to do with our supplements.
So that's why I think he did what he did there. And kind of, he's not going to say he did or didn't do anything because there's a whole legal process that's now rolling downhill, so to speak, for John Jones and his camp and figuring things out. Because I asked a question on Facebook yesterday. This could be it for John Jones if he has to sit for 2 years. Whatever happens, if he has to sit for 2 years, is this it for John Jones?
Well, and I was postulating yesterday that if he sits for 2 years, there are two things I think will happen. One, DC will have retired by then because he'll be 40, so you'll never see that fight. And two, it might be better for John Jones to go the WWE route where he could make some money off of this heeldom he has created around him. Because if you think about his fight with OSP, and I know you've been super critical about him coming back and the time away and how the sport has changed. What happens when the sport has changed and you've essentially been away for 3 years?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he will at that point have had one fight in almost 3.5 years.
Yes.
And that one fight he didn't look good in. So I don't know. It's an interesting situation. John Jones seemed very contrite. Dana White mentioned that at this point he had never seen John Jones like he had. And that was before the test, I should say, where he thought he actually got a new John Jones out of this situation and a guy who was paying attention and doing all the right things. So obviously we're going to be following that. That leads directly into Daniel Cormier in UFC 200.
Oof.
Now, Dana White said, hey, you've got a card that's stacked to the gills. This is the biggest UFC card ever. I said it earlier in the week on the podcast. Brock is going to drive this car. Daniel Cormier was happy to be along for the ride. He texted Brock after he found out and said, thanks for Christmas in July.
Right.
And what happened to Daniel Cormier is two things. He lost Christmas in July. So there's a very real monetary effect,
yes,
which I don't want to diminish there. But there's also a competitive nature there, which we saw immediately when Daniel Cormier was notified that John was out. I sometimes have this impression when they have all these meetings, there's a fancy boardroom, and they're all sitting around a table in an office. And it's very much like when we would like meet with somebody in an office or somewhere else. They were backstage at the MGM Grand. Daniel Cormier showed up, and Dana basically said John tested positive. And you could see the anguish and the anger and all these emotions rolling around for Daniel Cormier. He's put his life into this fight. He has told everybody over and over again, John Jones makes me a person I don't like. So I wanted this fight to be the last part of this, to be done with this. And, you know, I give Daniel Cormier a lot of credit. I don't think it's the smartest move in the world. First reaction, Daniel Cormier said, I'll sign a waiver. I'll fight him.
Yeah.
I want this fight to happen. That was his first gut, visceral reaction. Not like, oh, no, I don't want to fight a dude on steroids. Oh, I don't want to fight a dude who popped positive for something. He said, I'll sign a waiver. What do we have to do? He was obviously devastated. Dana White then later promised he would have a fight for the weekend. And we've got a fight. I'm not sure how I feel about this right now.
I'm not really sure. I mean, of the names that were mentioned, although it's not the sexiest one, I thought the Musasi fight made the most sense. He was already there, already on the card, already training.
Is Musasi the fairest thing, though, for a guy who is 1,000 times ramped up? There's a very famous story from about 20 years ago, if you go back in the day, with UFC, where Ken Shamrock got so amped up to finally beat Royce Gracie, to finally fight him. And that ended up being a tournament where Royce got knocked out. I believe that was the chemo fight.
Yes.
Where he won, quote-unquote, the match, but he had to withdraw. Ken Shamrock said he was ready to fight Royce. He had trained to fight Royce. He wanted to be there to fight Royce. And when that didn't happen, there was a dump. And he didn't end up fighting that night. And a lot of people wonder what happened to Ken Shamrock that night, people who were following the sport. You have to wonder if it would have been really fair at this point. You want to get Daniel Cormier a fight. You want to get him paid. Daniel Cormier makes a lot of money. Dana White said, hey, we usually pay a guy if the other opponent doesn't show up. I don't know if financially we can do that for Daniel Cormier. He makes a lot of money. Is it fair to put Daniel Cormier again against a guy, and I'm not discounting Anderson Silva right now, but he's going to be fighting up. He hasn't been training. Is it fair to put Daniel Cormier against a guy who's looking for that shot, who's been in a full camp? Not necessarily for Daniel Cormier, but been in a full camp where Daniel has been focused, just laser focused on Jon Jones.
Well, is it fair? I don't know. But when you're looking at the list of people that were up for this, it was Bisping on 2 days' notice, Hendo on 2 days' notice, Anderson on 2 days' notice, and Gegard Mousasi. And so I guess when we spend some of the time on the show talking about the safety of the fighters, I feel the one that's been in an 8-week camp and is ready to go is probably the better solution for the overall health of the organization. It's a 3-round non-title fight. You know, is there a lot to lose? I guess technically. And
I mean, you had a guy in his weight class, though, and if he beats him, maybe you set up the next fight and he only got beat because he wasn't prepared for this guy. I think for the sizzle of the card, though, we've got a great looking fight.
1,000%. Although my concern is that all of Anderson Silva's magic was in his gallbladder.
I respect Anderson Silva a ton, but here's what's going to be interesting to watch here. One thing is it looks like Daniel's going to have to make 205.
Yes.
Which he, at this moment, is probably working on doing. Weigh-ins as of this taping start in about 20 minutes. So he's going to have to make 205. He's also going to have to kind of adjust to who he's fighting. If he comes in, and if he's as strong as he says he is, and if he's in as good a shape as he thinks he is, and put himself in a position to win the fight against Jon Jones in the way he says he was in that shape to take the fight to Jon Jones, I don't see Anderson Silva having a chance in hell.
Well, and to that point, they picked an opponent who looks, you know, size-wise and length-wise a little bit like Jon Jones. Anderson is long and lean, so it's not like they're totally having to readjust for a totally different opponent, right? It's not a short and stocky.
I get what you're saying, but I mean, still in this situation, I think he was geared up, laser focused,
totally,
on
yes.
Jon Jones at this point.
But at least Anderson's reach is on par with Jon's reach, so it's not like they have to change the entire way in which they were going to approach the fight.
Yes. So it's an interesting fight. It's something we certainly would have paid for in the past. I'm glad Daniel Cormier is getting a fight this weekend. It's something you look at, though, and you know what? You don't have to take any. Anderson Silva's and any of these guys were basically in a no-lose situation taking the fight against Daniel Cormier.
Sure.
So Anderson Silva, hey, he's a guy, he likes the spotlight. After that loss to Bisping, he's kind of been in limbo. This is a great shot for him, I think, to kind of see where he is. Even if he can be competitive for 3 rounds against Daniel Cormier, which, you know, just 3 or 4 years ago, he was the greatest fighter on the planet, isn't out of the realm of possibility, makes this a very interesting fight for UFC 200.
Okay, so what are your thoughts on what's next for Jon? Because one of the things that I've been trying, I've been pretty quiet on social because I've been trying to be mindful of the process, in that in a normal circumstance, they would have an appeal process. They would have the chance to go through this whole thing, which they were not able to do prior to UFC 200, and we don't have all the facts yet. So it's supposition time, Ken. What do you think happens? It's two substances instead of one, which is what we thought yesterday.
I don't think, is that treated as two different incidents or no?
No, but I mean, I think the when we were dealing with the press conference and the common assumption was what was the thing you took when it was two things that you took one way or the other.
Well, I assume one was performance enhancing and probably he's just doing some more blow.
It doesn't test for blow.
I'm just kidding.
That's a joke. But that's a nuance you need to. Marijuana and coke are not tested in out of competition drug tests, so it's not. It can't be anything recreational. It can only be performance enhancing.
And I find this very interesting. I know we don't have time for it today, and we're about to wrap here in just a minute. But how is it out of competition the month before your fight? That seems a little. When do we count it as competition?
I don't. That's an excellent question. I don't know,
because it was in June 20 something, right?
16.
16. That's less than a month away from your fight. So is in-competition testing only a week of? I guess we'll get into that later.
As always, you can follow along with the results for tonight as Johanna Jędrzejczak and Claudia Gadelha are the main event of the tough finale tonight. And then tomorrow, UFC 200. It was going to be the Brock Mark Hunt show, and it is now the Miesha Tate.
It's officially the Brock Mark Hunt show, though.
No, it is not. They moved it last night.
They moved it again?
It's Miesha Tate and Amanda Nunes is the main event.
Oh, God. I can't keep up.
So Brock and Mark Hunt are now back to the co-main event.
So we'll do eight more of these mini-casts before the show, probably, as things keep
changing.
We're
going to be doing them all weekend long.
We'll just stay on Facebook Live.
Stay on Facebook at WOW Show. It is Way of the Warrior. It's your MMA show.